Open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible? Need one up here, John? Thank you. Colossians chapter 2. I'm thankful for the Lord and for all He's doing. I'm thankful for the things we see and the things that we don't. You know, sometimes you can't just look in the natural. So many things are taking place in the spiritual that truly haven't manifested themselves in the natural as of yet. But this is a great age for the church and the body of Christ. Amen. So, in Colossians 2, you know, the Apostle Paul says in verse 3, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I want you to understand something. That's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. Amen? In other words, this is a treasure chest. The words of treasure. Hey, honey, I didn't see you come in. Hey, darling, how you doing? I see a big cute rear either. But our text this morning is found in verse number 6. Again, let me go back here. That he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And again, it's not hidden from us, it's hidden for us, and it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. You know, that's why he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, okay? And as the Spirit reveals and opens up the Word to you and I, the world does not, the carnal man does not understand the things of God. They're foolishness because they're spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. So as we look at this, Paul goes on and teaches something about being rooted in Christ Jesus and the importance of being rooted in Him. It says in verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted up and built in Him, built up in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 8 for the message this morning. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The title of this morning's message is, spoiled to foil. The foil is to upset or to overturn. And we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the intellect, the integrity, and the institution. Okay? So can we lift our words together and make a declaration today? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So, Father, first and foremost, Father God, I pray that I get out of your way, that you speak through this vessel. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. So we're looking first, beware lest any man shall spoil you through philosophy or through intellect. Sometimes intellectuals will confuse us more than bring edification to the Word of God. I'm not telling anybody not to be an intellectual. Don't get me wrong. We God wants us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a matter of rightly dividing and discerning what's true and what's not true. Amen? So look with me, and we're going to look at the intellect first. So look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're talking about a more perfect tabernacle, one that was not made by hands. It was made by God, the tabernacle being Christ Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now, here's what we have to understand as the body of Christ. In other words, and the law was the works that you did to obtain. In other words, everywhere through the old law or the Old Testament, you had to work to earn, to deserve. Now grace is, now we're operating out of what's already been done. I'm working because of what Christ has done, not to earn it, for by grace I am saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, as I should boast. In other words, there's the difference between the law and the grace is the law said, I had to earn it. Grace said, because Christ did it, I receive it. Amen? You know, and it's important for you and I to get that revelation and understanding, or we'll come into so much condemnation. See, what was taking place with the Jews, as they were trying to bring the law and mix law and grace, and it will never work. All it will do is put burdens that people cannot bear, and it will confuse them. Amen? Who is the author of confusion? The devil's the author of confusion. God came, he does things decently, and he does them in order. I want you to understand that if you get that revelation, if you get the revelation that Christ completed everything that you need, and you're just operating on the finished work of Calvary, not trying to earn or deserve God's favor, you'll start flowing in the Spirit and the power of God. The problem with the body of Christ is they're going around trying to earn favor. You don't have to earn God's favor. He shined his favor on you when he gave his son. He loved you so much he gave his son for you and for me and for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So look with me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, let's listen to what Jesus says. When they're starting to mix the law with grace. We'll just begin to read 16, verse number 5. "And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, Is it because we haven't taken no bread? When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and the many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." In other words, all of a sudden works were coming in. All of a sudden, they were mixing grace with works, and you had to do this, and you had to do that. And what Jesus is saying, he is saying that, hey, a little, in Galatians 5:9, it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And in other words, if you just put a tad bit of yeast in your bread's going to rise. I'm not a cook, but I believe that's what makes bread rise, right? So, if you put a little bit of law in the grace, what's going to raise is the law and not grace. In other words, it takes away everything that Christ did for you and I. And it makes it all about works. You know, for by grace, I'm just saying, P.S., thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done. Amen. I don't have to go around and earn God's favor. He's already given you favor. Amen. He's called you his son. He's called you his daughter. He's named you. He's called you by name. There's no accident that you're here. God wants grace to abound. This Holy Ghost movement that's coming to the body of Christ, it's flooded with grace. It's flooded with grace because all the law is going to do is burden you and hold you down. It's going to hold you captive. Amen. And he come to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Look with me. Are you with me? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Strange doctrines. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Amen.
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 Amazing
grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen. You know, and then here in the past few days, I think it's probably been about 2 weeks now, we've had a lot of rain. Has anybody noticed? There's been a lot of rain. And behind those clouds, the sun's still shining. The sun never disappeared. The sun is still behind those clouds. You know? And grace is like that rain. That rain that's pouring down on you and I before that sun of righteousness appears. Amen? Amen? That moderate and that early and that latter and that latter and that moderate rain is pouring out on you and I. I just feel God's abundance of grace. Amen. I just feel grace pouring out like rain. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need all the grace I can get. Hallelujah. Anybody else need grace in the room besides me? I didn't know if the Lord was just talking to me, if he was talking to anybody else in the room. Amen. Pray for your pastor. He's a sinner. He needs all the grace that God can give him. Yeah. For, you know, a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. You know, first he talks about it in our text, and then he talks about not only the intellect, but he said with vain deceit. Vain deceit. That affects our intellect, our minds. Amen. How many know that the devil's always wanting to mess with your head? Is the devil messing with anybody's head in the room? Come on, let's be honest. Is the devil messing with anybody's head? Amen. Well, God's going to minister to you. Amen. He's going to minister to me because you've been messing with my head too. Amen. You know, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same family. We're all in the same journey. We all have the same destination. We're all going the same place. Amen. Amen. Don't you think, since we're all going to live together for eternity, we might as well just get along now? What do you think? Hallelujah. Everybody is unique in their own way. Amen. But look with me in Proverbs chapter 11. We're talking about the ways that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were bringing in to try to corrupt grace. They were bringing in philosophy. They're philosophers. You know, their intellect, you know. And then there was the vain deceit. They didn't have much integrity. Matter of fact, the Word of God says in Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. I've seen more people in the body of Christ destroyed by adding the law to grace. And all of a sudden, they were condemned. All of a sudden, they weren't worthy. They didn't feel worthy. They didn't feel accepted. But the Word of God says there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. God didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to understand, even though we read the whole counsel, the law was not abolished in Christ Jesus. There wasn't an answer. It was fulfilled in Him. Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment. And by you and I being in Christ Jesus, it puts us in a different position. How many know that your position in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Far above principality and power, above every name named, not only in heaven, but in earth also. Amen. That as a child of God, you've got rights. Amen. You're royalty. He says you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. In other words, a peculiar people is this. We don't do stuff to earn favor. We operate out of favor because of what He's done. That makes us peculiar. Doesn't that go against every standard in the world? Doesn't that go against, isn't that contrary to the world? And everything, if I'm going to get a degree, what do I have to do? I have to study to get that degree. Amen? I have to do something to get it. Now it's just I have to trust somebody that's done it so I can receive it. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's just plain and simple. Well, that's just the point. That's the point. That's the point. Man has complicated what God has made simple. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Amen? Amen. So many times, that's why we have that mentality. Well, I just can't do this. I can't do this. Pastor, there's no way I could do that. Well, guess what? Either can I. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In other words, it's letting that flow instead of me. Let me go and let Him flow. Amen? How many know there's a lot of battle with me? Anybody got some battles with me? I don't know if you don't have to be battling me. You can be battling yourself is what I'm talking about. Hopefully everybody isn't raising their hand because they're battling me. I'm your friend. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29. Prophet Isaiah says in verse Isaiah 29, verse number 13. He said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding. In other words, what he was saying in the Isaiah was prophesying of the marvelous work that God was going to do through Christ Jesus. So turn to Matthew 15. Where Jesus starts speaking about the defilement comes from within. In my body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. The work of God begins from the outside, inside out. You know, sometimes God's doing such a work inside, you may not always manifest. Maybe the fruit isn't bearing yet, but but we're all a work in progress. Amen? Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I feel like I've arrived and got somewhere, God reveals something else to me. And then it's like, whoa me, Lord. And in other words, he isn't revealing it to me to persecute me or to condemn me. He reveals it to me because out of his love. Amen? So as the word of God is flowing and moving, it has to move in love. Everything's got to be bathed in love. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse number 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, and he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He says, you hypocrites. He said, well, Isaiah prophesied unto you, saying, that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. You know, outward man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what God is saying to you and I, if we're in Christ Jesus and Christ is in us, the work comes from the inside. It's not an outside work, it's an inside. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. And then all of a sudden, out of our bellies flow living water. Amen? Living waters is words that bring life. There's so much words of destruction in the world, and we as the body of Christ, we got to build one another up. We got to encourage one another. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of battling going on. There's a lot of warfare that's going on. Amen. And God called us to be encouragers to one another. Amen. You know, we need encouragement. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Amen. You know, we got a Holy Ghost motivator, but we got to feed the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost have its way. You know, he'll guide and he'll direct us. It says the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. God's ordered our steps. It's a matter of us just getting in tune with him. Amen. And I want you to know right now, I know there's some things that are going on in some people's lives, and you're feeling condemnation. You're feeling condemned over it. I want you to understand that what God is saying is, if you'll step into his grace and his mercy will help you pass through this thing that the adversary has tried to hold you bondage with. Amen. Because if it come by the law or I have to do it, you'll never do it. It's by grace that I move. It's by his love. We sing it. We sing it all the time. His love lifted me. When nothing else would work, I don't remember the words.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Look with me in Titus chapter 1. Man, I can sing a message because I got Barb and Judy. Amen. Is everybody good? Everybody listening? God's going to change your whole outlook today. Amen. Things are looking brighter. You know, Titus, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 14. He encourages Titus, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and do every good work reprobate. In other words, the law was working to receive grace. I work out of what's been accomplished. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it so somebody else can get what I got. If God gave you the answer for everyone in the world that they're seeking, and it's, let's say it was just one word, and he had this one word, and they didn't know it, but he secretly gave that word to you. And you took that word, and you just kept it to yourself. And you never shared that word with anyone else. That's what God wants you to understand. When he said grace, he gave you and I unmerited favor. It's something that we didn't do to deserve or earn it. He gave it to us freely. He says, freely you have received, now freely give. Amen. I'm not giving what I have, I'm giving what he gave. It's not about what I have, it's about what he has. And he uses you and I as his vessels for his glory and his honor and his praise. Amen. Amen. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. I don't know about you, but one day I was bound. But praise God, I've been set free. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here he says, not after the rudiments of the world. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now see, this is a New Testament church. The Apostle's writing to the New Testament church about grace and operating and flowing in grace. Then he says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. We work by the word, we live by the word, and it brings forth work. Amen. And we're not talking about, hey, we're co-laborers together for the kingdom of God. Amen. There's a grand harvest that's coming for the body of Christ, and we're all co-laborers together. Amen. We're all working in unity together, operating in love. Amen. And when we're looking at love, we can't see people where they're at. We got to see them where God's taking them to, but accept them just right where they are. You know, sometimes we forgot, or we tend to have forget where God found us. I don't know about you, but when he found me, I was a mess. Amen? And he came in, and he's changing the mess around. That mess became a message to others of God's grace and his love and his mercy. Amen? So in that mess, it becomes our message. Our test that we go through becomes our testimony as we give glory to God. How many has God brought through something in this house? Has God carried you through something? Has he showed up in the midnight hour? I don't know why he's always showing up at 11:59, but he always seems to show up at 11:59 with me. It seems to be at the last moment. But he always shows up. He's always been faithful. Amen? Amen. I don't have to look back too far to see the last time God's done something for me. He did something for me just today because he brought you here. Amen? He brought you here. And I love you. God loves you. Amen. And we might not always agree on everything together. That's okay. We can disagree in love. Hallelujah. Because we're family. Hello? I know my wife, she has to agree with me a lot of times. It's just that little nod every once in a while. And I know when I get that certain nod that she's not truly agreeing with me, but she's agreeing with me. Is that just me? Oh, I guess I'm the only one like that, huh? Hallelujah. That's why the Lord put me up in front of you, because you can see somebody just like me. And what does that speak of? There ought to be a big sign over top of my head when I walk down saying grace. Amen. Okay, I'll move on. Turn me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll get ready to close. 1 Peter chapter 1. You okay? You put music on from up above?
I'm good.
All right. Well, we prayed that you would see fireworks, so you got to see them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober in the hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." At the apocalypsis, or the uncovering, or the unveiling of Christ. You know, God wants us to have revelation. God wants us to have revelation. The revelation is we've been trying to do so many things to earn His favor. And God has already poured His favor on you because you put your trust in His Son. He says, as obedient children, we're not going to fashion ourselves according to the former lust in our ignorance. But as He which have called us, you and I, is holy, so let's be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. That's the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your hearts and lives. And if I call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear or in reverence. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Man, amazing grace. I mean, to sum this up today, God's saying to us simply this, is we can't combine the two. We've got to act from, not to get to. Jesus, He did it for you and I on the cross of Calvary. And all He is saying to you and I is to enter into His finished work. When He said, "It is finished," it was done. It was complete. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, will quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that's in you. So when we say, "Let God arise and may the enemy be scattered," we're letting God arise on the inside. We're allowing Him to reign on the inside. And as He reigns on the inside, He is manifested on the out. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number one. The Word of God says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron." And what the Lord is saying here is, hey, let's don't confuse the law with grace. That it's not about our intellect. We have the mind of Christ. Our integrity. You know what integrity simply is for the body of Christ, for you and I? All God asks you and I to do this when we use our mouth. Say what we mean what we say. Does somebody in the room need to flow in more grace? Come on. Can we just all stand together? I believe everyone in the room knows Jesus, so can we stand in the room together? Has anybody been feeling unworthy lately? It's not about your worthiness. Because when He called you by name, He called you and He said, "You're my daughter. You're my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. You're my daughter because you put your trust in my Son. And my Son took it all. Everything that you did and everything that you did before, He removed it and took it on Him on the cross of Calvary. I removed it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again." Grace is flowing. Rivers of grace is flowing to you and I. Can we just lift our hands and receive grace in the place today? Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. Father, I thank you for the grace that abounds and abounds and abounds and abounds towards your children, Father God. Father, that we are worthy through what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord Jesus, to operate and walk in the finished work of Calvary. Father God, that we're blessed going in, that we're blessed coming out, that your favor shines upon our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. Can we give God some praise for the blessing that He's given you and I? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. God just wants you to understand something today. There's been so much confusion in the body of Christ, where there's been such a mixture of law and grace. Jesus fulfilled the law. He paid the price. He did it once and He doesn't ever have to do it again. And all you and I need to do is enter into that finished work of Calvary and operate and flow in victory. Not because of what I have done, but because what He did for you and I. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God. We're grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart and life. Father, may we take these things that have been spoken. May we meditate upon them. May we swallow what we need to swallow. If there's bones, may we spit them out. But may we take the meat of your word and may we digest it and let it manifest itself in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray blessings upon your children, Father God. I pray for your face to shine upon them, your glory to rise on them. Be with them, Father God, Lord Jesus. Bring them back tonight, if they can make it. And Lord, we'll never cease to give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Make sure and love on one another. Amen. Don't do a good man himself.
All right. Jack says-